Welcome back. Some breaking news to share with you this morning, M&A related.
I think eBay is in that situation. They got a jewel in PayPal.
My own sources on this, Jim, say it's just totally bogus.
This is such a game changer. Amazon to buy Whole Foods.
Let's just say we think Mr. Musk and Tesla has a broad interpretation of the truth.
That's the voice of Jim Chanos, short seller from a recent CNBC interview. He's talking about Tesla there, but today I'm going to talk about a different name from his short book. It's in healthcare, and it's been all over the news regarding M&A lately. In segment two, the Wall Street Journal a few weeks ago highlighted an Elliott Associates name that's apparently on the auction block. I want to talk about it. And lastly, now that Monsanto looks like it's about ready to close, what is the safest name to own in risk arb? I actually think it's a name where the deal terms haven't even been announced yet. All this for the week of June 3rd on According to Sources.
In particular, we've been really concerned about the rent seekers, the people who've just been on the margin ripping off the system.
And one of those so-called rent-seeking companies that Chanos is referring to is Envision Healthcare, ticker EVHC. Chanos is short the stock. Envision Healthcare is a company compiled of multiple units, including ambulance services, medical imaging, emergency care. Envision Health's story, though, in terms of being an M&A target, actually began in October of 2017. And it happened at the Capitalize for Kids conference, which is a charity conference where various hedge fund managers present their best ideas. And Starboard and Jeff Smith presented their long in Envision Health. And their long was essentially focused on the idea that Envision Health, which had been an $80 stock only a few months ago and now was $40, should actually be $70. And here was the reason why they thought.
Blackstone is taking over hospital staffing provider. Private equity firm buying Team Health for about $3.2 billion. Blackstone will pay $43.50 a share, a premium of roughly 18% to Friday's closing price.
Put simply, Starboard was hoping Envision would put itself on the block. And if they got the same multiple as Team Health did in 2016, the stock would go for over $70 a share. Well, things didn't exactly go according to plan because only a few weeks later on their Q3 earnings call, they gave guidance for Q4. They missed the analyst estimates badly. A member of the board resigned. The stock, which the night before had closed at $42.60, got multiple downgrades from the street and only 3 days later was trading around $25. However, for the activists like Starboard and actually later Corvex, there was a silver lining, and it was discussed on the earnings conference call.
The guidance for Q4 requires additional discussion to better frame the outlook on the earnings power of the company, and we're going to dedicate much of this call to that matter. And per our press release, our board of directors has decided to undertake a review of strategic, financial, and operational alternatives. The purpose of this review is to be transparent, fair, and thorough in our consideration of all alternatives with a goal of determining the best path for enhancing shareholder value.
And that was the beginning. And on November 14th, only a few weeks later, with the stock at 25, the first Bloomberg article, the first of many, discussing PE's interest in EVHC was published. This one specifically stated that Carlyle and Onyx were suitors. On 12/21, EVHC canceled out of the JP Morgan Healthcare Conference. That spiked shares to 35. On March 6th, Bloomberg ran a story saying that United Health had actually joined the bidding for the company, and that sent shares to 42. March 20th, KKR and Blackstone, they're also looking. May 9th, KKR is going to apparently bid $11 billion, so says the New York Post. On May 18th, HCA and KKR are teaming up for a bid. That's Reuters. Literally one story after another stacking on top of each other. And a stock that was once 25 is suddenly 42, simply based on the same story, in my opinion, about PE interest in this company over and over and over again. But during these 6 months of the strategic review, while the earnings have seem to stabilize, there have been some unfortunate and negative events in the company. Jim Chanos on that CNBC interview elaborated further.
Their business models involve in some way either deception or aggressive use of reimbursement that people don't know. People are upset about this. They're so upset about this that the largest payer of Envision Health, UNH, we all know UNH, yeah, is suing them and put up an anti-EVHC website.
On April 10th, Citigroup, responding to the UNH dispute, published this note, quote, "We estimate that UNH specifically could represent $400 million in revenue to EVHC, and assuming a 20% cut would suggest a potential $80 million reduction to EBITDA. This would represent about a 10% cut to EBITDA for the year. Despite the numerous positive press reports that this seems to be an almost imminent deal, in fact, the New York Post said that the week of the 23rd of May that they would be getting their final bids. I think there are a lot of red flags here surrounding the EVHC takeout story. You have the angle that Jim Chanos brought up. You have the UNH dispute currently ongoing. And frankly, there's just the idea that the stock was 25 and now is 42 on essentially the same news. There's also the fact that the 20% short interest in this stock, which is 24 million shares, bothers me. Why would you short a stock that seems to be on the brink of an imminent buyout? And lastly, while I do like a good degree of disclosure and press coverage, when there seems to be so many stories, I question why is so much of this process getting leaked, and that bothers me. So I'm going to explain now how I'm playing this. I think EVHC is a really interesting story. I think it's very hard to pick a side one way or another. But I do think that owning the June $40 put in EVHC is an interesting gamble. I think that the stock could drop below 35 in the event that a deal does not take place, and the puts currently as of Friday were marked at $1.35. Up next on segment two.
The first time that you put that headset on and take that first call,
heart is racing, anticipating what that customer is going to be like.
I haven't worked in call centers before, and so I didn't really know what to expect.
I didn't know anything about customer service, and it was really assuring to feel that everyone wanted to help me succeed.
I wanted a career path after the military, and I heard a lot of good things about Convergys, and I decided to try them out, not really knowing exactly what they did.
I didn't know what Convergys did either until it suddenly showed up on a Elliott Management 13F filing in February. What made the situation more interesting to me, though, was that on January 25th, before the filing was revealed, CEO Andrea Ayers announced that she had resigned. She had been CEO since 2012, and the stock had done fairly well under her tenure, going from $13 to $23 in those years. Elliott's been so successful at pushing companies to sell themselves, think BMC Software, think CompuWare, think Mentor Graphics, and the idea that they're in Convergys without a CEO, I found very compelling. Convergys operates customer service call centers. So for example, if you called T-Mobile and you needed customer service, you'd most likely get rerouted to a Convergys call center. Now on May 11th, the Wall Street Journal reported that Convergys had kicked off a sales process following the departure of CEO Ayers and was, quote, deeply in discussions with a number of parties, including industry rivals and private equity. The news quickly shot shares of CVG up from $22.30 all the way to over $25 a share on the close of May 11th. Everything so far seemed to be going Elliott's way. The CEO had stepped down, they had hired bankers, and they seemed to be getting interest. However, a few days after the Wall Street Journal story, Deal Reporter wrote their own article, and they said, quote, that CVG had seen limited suitor interest on the back of its weak financial performance, according to two sources briefed on the matter. They said the auction is in the second round with only PE and no strategics. So, how did the analysts feel about it? SunTrust Robinson wrote in a note that they think a transaction could fetch up to 9x EBITDA, which my back of the napkin math would equal about $32 a share. On the flip side, though, Robert Baird suggested that past industry takeouts would value CVG between $21 and $25. In this case, though, I'm siding with Elliott, and I am long shares of CVG from around $24. It's hard to say where exactly Elliott bought their shares, but you know that they bought in Q4 of 2017, and the stock was really above $23 for most of that time, so you're paying around what they paid, and I can't imagine they would have gotten involved unless they saw significant upside in a sale. The fact that there's no strategics involved and that it's mostly PE, that sort of vibes with a lot of the companies that Elliott seems to have sold in the past. In terms of timing, we don't really have a great sense of timing. We do know that the auction seems to be in the second round. The Wall Street Journal said deep discussions. So I can't imagine the process would go on for much longer. So to reiterate, I am long CVG and I am hoping for a deal in the coming months. And in today's final segment.
For 18 years, it has not worked out that well. And management has been more optimistic than subsequent events delivered, and we thought they should sit down and negotiate.
That, of course, is the voice of Warren Buffett describing his discontent with the board of USG during a recent CNBC interview. On March 26, following a filing from Berkshire Hathaway, it was revealed that German company Knauf, a 10% holder of USG, had bid $42 a share, which USG quickly rejected. Knauf had apparently bid $40 and change in November, and according to later filings, USG, whose stock was in the low 30s before the bid, rejected both bids, calling them, quote, inadequate and, quote, opportunistic. They even called themselves the crown jewel of building products. Berkshire did something very un-Berkshire. They displayed some mild activism.
Directors are there to represent shareholders, and we did not feel they were certainly representing us with a 30% interest. That's the first time, I think, in the 53 years I've been in Berkshire that we've voted against a slate.
Now, Buffett has quite a history with USG, and he went further into detail during that CNBC interview about the lengths he's gone to help save this company in the past.
And we backstopped single-handedly, Berkshire did, a one-for-one stock offering, which is very unusual, and we backed with $1.6 billion or $1.7 billion, this company coming out of bankruptcy, having a one-for-one offering. And then 2 years later, in 2008, when the crisis hit and also hit housing, the company found itself needing money again. And we put up $300 of the $400 million they needed at that time.
So to make a long story short, Buffett had bailed this company out not once but twice. And now they're getting a takeover bid and they didn't even bother to consult him, over 30% holder. After some public back and forth between USG, Knauf, and Berkshire, USG sensed the writing was on the wall and relented, agreeing to enter formal merger discussions with Knauf. The stock today, as of this podcast, sits at $41.41, 49 cents under the last deal proposal. Several analysts, for example, Jefferies, have written, quote, we think a price of 45 to 52 would require USG to reconsider. Raymond James said 47. Which is probably why USG trades so close to the current offer of 42. I believe that now that Monsanto is just about closed, and that's another stock in the ARB world that Buffett was involved in, USG now represents the best way and the safest way to play risk ARB right now. This situation truly does have all the puzzle pieces that I look for when picking a risk ARB name to enter. It has a strong buyer who's paying cash. We don't really have to worry about financing. This doesn't have the fear of regulatory interference like China blocking or the Department of Justice getting involved. And I also don't have to worry about a white knight shareholder coming to the rescue. Every shareholder here is going to side and vote alongside Warren Buffett. So the big question then is, can they get more than $42 a share? And obviously, USG is hardly in a position to negotiate. So here's the way I see it. If a deal was announced tomorrow at 42, I think the stock would trade around 41 and a quarter, which would be about a 7% annualized return. So every time this gets below 41 and a quarter, and it happens every so often, I get long. It's never a good feeling to be right on a deal, but wrong on the price. So if I buy below 41 and a quarter, worst case scenario, I think I break even. And you have the optionality of maybe they do get an extra dollar or so from Knauf. And if you want to squeeze the lemon a little bit further, you can sell the $42 calls, which month after month, you could probably get around 40 to 50 cents for, to give yourself a little bit of an extra bump. That wraps up the very first episode of According to Sources for the week of June 3rd. I hope every week on this podcast to analyze merger ARB, event trading, and what's happening in the world of M&A. I'm using my own 12 years of hedge fund trading experience to make these opinions that I shared with you today, but my goal is to make this more of an open forum, so please feel free to reach out. Next week, the Time Warner ruling. What does it mean for Comcast, Fox, Disney, and the rest of media? Next week on According to Sources. The ideas expressed today are opinions of According to Sources and the hedge fund manager behind it. According to Sources is not liable for any investment decisions based on the opinions expressed today.
Amazon has everything for back to school. Zebra lunchbox? Check. Cool Adidas gear like t-shirts, shoes, and backpacks? Check. Triceratops folders and pencils? Check. Laser cat t-shirts? Check. Get your back-to-school shopping done now at Amazon.com/back-to-school and enjoy free shipping on millions of items. No need to leave your home or hassle with crowds. Amazon.com. No better place to get everything back to school from A to Z.